Please do take your seats.
24th of November.
As Becky already mentioned, that this is the last Sunday of the present church calendar. We were in year 8. And as she mentioned, next Sunday starts the new church calendar. During my time here, first with Lynn and Alan, and now, of course, with Becky mainly, that we have taken us you through different parts of the scriptures. At times, picking up the Gospels, the main focus of Gospels, preaching from the Gospel. This year it was Luke's Gospel, sometime from the Epistles, some years. Then some other year have been taking you through the general Old Testament text. And a couple of years ago, I think it was Psalms. And this year we finished with Luke's Gospel. And I don't know if Becky remember, a couple of months ago, we did discuss that, well, what about next year, i.e. from the next Sunday, what will be the focus of the preaching? And Becky, of course, young she is, she had a long list of what we could be doing. And it just reminded me on that day and today as well, that when your children are small and they write all sort of poems, Dad, walk slow, I want to put step in your step. You remember those sort of poems? But you come to an age when you need to say to the children, my kid, slow, I'm old. So what we agreed, that exciting idea as well, that picking up the topic and picking up a book in the Bible and going through the whole book in the year. But what we agreed, that from next Sunday, for 1 year, the preaching focus will be a preacher's choice. That every Sunday there are actually 4 different readings, and the preacher will be free to choose whichever text they want to preach from. So I guess a lot of variety, there will be a lot of excitement, and indeed a little more experience for Becky, because during these her years it was always a fixed from this book, from this portion of the scriptures. I indeed look forward to. Today we finish, as mentioned earlier, the year. And the year we finish by celebrating the feast of Christ the King. It's not only us, there are many of the churches as well that who are today celebrating the feast of Christ the King. Perhaps an appropriate topic, perhaps exciting for others, perhaps wondering that what a topic and what a text. Maybe thinking, what an odd text of the Gospel to read before the season of festivities begin. After all, as Becky mentioned earlier also, time of joy, time season of joy is starting. We all want to smile, but the Gospel passage we have is representing, is saying, from the Golgotha, from the Calvary. Perhaps a better time to read such text on Good Friday rather than today. What is happening? There are 3 crosses. 3 men are hanging helplessly. The whole scene doesn't seem to me very jubilant. If anything, it sounds as though a scene of mockery, because these people are mocking him. Well, if you are the Messiah, come down. Perhaps a scene of humiliation. After all, so many people, they had put their hope in this man, Jesus, and now they were humiliated. People are saying, come down, and he is not coming down from the cross, but hanging there. a scene of even perhaps hopelessness. Luke's gospel uses a bit of soft language, but you look the other gospels and it is that this particular man who turned towards Jesus and started to say that, "Aren't you the Messiah? Come down, save us from the cross and save yourself from the cross," actually did use a quite strong language. In fact, cursing Jesus, that why aren't you doing something? That tells to me something about the hopelessness. And I wonder, those women who followed Jesus, how did they feel? I guess feeling absolutely helpless. So scene of agony, helplessness, pain, hopelessness. And we are reading this on the Sunday when we celebrate Christ the King. And I wonder that how do you feel? Perhaps you too feel that is it somebody deliberately chosen this text to steal away my joy? But I can assure you there is no conspiracy. These are such readings for this Sunday. Reading for this Sunday from Golgotha, Christ the King. But if you sit back for a moment and think who Jesus was, and perhaps like me, you too will think, well, what else? This is the right text for Sunday. What else text should be? And especially if you know a little bit history, when the church started to celebrate the feast of Christ the King. What I'm going to say next for a few moments, it may be uncomfortable, but please do forgive me. The year was 1925. The war, which started to end all wars, had just finished when first the Roman Catholic Church, then the other denominations adopted this feast, Christ the King. I wonder what was in their mind when they chose this feast right at the end of the war. Was it they wanted to give certain message to the then Christendom to learn something? After all that mayhem of that war, it really and truly started in so-called Christian countries. Were they trying to tell something to people? I don't know. But one thing I do know, and that is for sure, the First World had hardly finished when the preparations for the Second World War on the way. But did that war change anything? Well, one thing, yes, definitely it did change. The center of gravity, center of power from Europe moved to the United States of America. As far that humanity in general, their condition remained either the same or got worse. And if you look human history, there have been more wars, more killing since the Second World War than before that. A few days ago, we were remembering and celebrating the coming down of the Berlin Wall 30 years ago. There was once again this great joy in the world that perhaps now it is for real, the wars will stop and humanity will live in peace. But did we get that peace? I fear not. And as that was not bad enough, then came the 9/11. And we invaded, together with the United States of America, a couple of countries in hope to bring peace. But if you want to really and truly understand the reality of 9/11, then I would encourage you to go to the Guardian newspaper and November the 15th, just a few days ago, their columnist named Simon Jenkins wrote an article on it. It is something, at least I believe, for us Christians to sit back and think. If I may quote a little bit from his article, Britain with America is continuing to fight the so-called wars of 9/11. 18 years after they began battling in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria. In Britain's case, covertly, there is not the remotest sign of victory in sight. Somehow, they are not seen as wars, just the licensed killing of foreigners. The US has spent a staggering $6.4 trillion on almost two decades of intervention, with more than 7,000 military dead. Britain has lost 634. In addition, unknowable thousands of civilians have died, and billions of pounds worth of profit have been destroyed. And listen to this. Christianity has been all but wiped out in the region. And some of the fine cities in the ancient world have been bombed flat. No audit has been made of this. The opportunity cost must be unthinkable. What diseases might have been eradicated? What climate crisis relieved? The wars of 9/11 must rank among the cruelest, most costly, and senseless of the post-imperial age. Here I end the quote. But I want to ask us that why is it hard for people to stop wars? Because you look human history, the men of war always find a reason and a season to go for war. Why is it so hard for us to stop fighting? I don't know about your answer. My answer is very simple, and that is the desire I want to be in the middle. That I could be, for some individual, Hitler is a good case, I want to be in the middle. It could be a nation, my nation, we want to be in the middle. I guess when this is the desire, then it leads us to follow the lions rather than the Lamb of God. A warrior, not the one who says, I have come that they may have peace. A culture, I believe, where celebrities are mini gods, the servant king easily loses attraction. What is the hope? I sound so pessimist, don't I? But yet I am full of optimism because we have the gospel to preach. We have the gospel of peace. We have something to proclaim to the world. We have the good news to tell to the world. We have invitation to give to people. You are so concerned about the self. Come to the one who teaches how to conquer the self and put God on the highest place. We have indeed a lamb. Let's invite them to see the lion. Let us invite them to the lamb, that they truly meet a warrior so great who can turn the other cheek. That is the real warrior. And we have, my brothers and sisters, message to give to the world. People can fight World War III, World War IV, World War V, and so on and on. But peace will not be there until people make peace with themselves, peace with God, and peace with others. And that comes from the one who hung on that cross. People put as a mockery the sign, the King of the Jews. But he has proven that he indeed is the King of Peace, who can, as we read from our Colossians chapter gospel, who can bring that greatest joy to all, who can give that greatest inheritance to people, not of this earth, but also of heaven. Let us never stop preaching the gospel of peace of Christ. Let us never stop telling the people that there is this Lamb of God who can give you what you are seeking. Assurance, finding yourself, finding God, and respect for all humanity. May God give courage to his church to continue to preach the gospel, however the world see, just so bent on fighting the war. We are the people of peace because we follow the Prince of Peace. Amen.